Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Tip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state's evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, we in the building. It's the Callist Cookout. Hero versus the villain. Where good always wins. But let me tell you, you already know. Without a good villain, you can't have a hero. Every good hero needs a good villain. And I'm not a good villain. I'm a great villain. I'm a superb villain. But the call number, 929-477-2759. We're with you for the next 90-plus minutes. I think it's Snickers from the background here, but it's all good. Everybody knows that the villain's supercharged and super ready to go. I got my co-host on my side, the head honcho, the boss, the leader of Sports City, the man himself, TP Timeless. Timeless, what's up, brother?
The whole world's taking off because I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Welcome to the cookout, y'all. We about to get this thing going. A lot of interesting sport news around the world. And we also got some great, and I am not going to lie, exciting news here in Sports City. I definitely do got to give props to this guy that's hosting the show right now. I got to give the villain some credit. Like, you know, after you watch the Joker, all of the different Batmans, and, you know, you see him, and you like, the Joker get on my nerves. And then you see the Joker and see the story, you like, yo, I feel bad for the Joker, man. Like I really do. I actually like him. So without any further ado, I do got to give the Joker some credit. I love this dude. This is my brother. And everything that the Jordan family has done for me, I do got to give them some credit. So if you can, check out the website, sportscitychefs.com, and go to merchandise and purchase some merchandise. Whether it's a mug, whether it's a travel mug, whether it's a T-shirt, a hoodie, please get involved. Support us. We got the new print out. That's right. I repeat, we got a new print out. So I'm loving both of them. I like the old version. I like the new version even better because we got the city backdrop. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm excited. I can't wait to get one of them bad boy T-shirts so I can rock it for the summer. I got to try and figure out how we could get a fitted hat. I need a fitted. I don't like snapbacks. I like fitted. But I think we're on the detail of getting snapbacks. So, it's a lot of great news here in Sports City. Trying to stay electrically up. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening in my life, but I can't carry that energy here. I got to stay here with my boys as best as possible, 10 toes down. How about you, villain? How are you feeling this hump day?
Oh, it's a crazy day, man. I've been driving all day, brother, man. Going to get my oldest daughter, got her here in the villain's lair. So I got a full house, you know. But, you know, shout out to my wife, Mrs. Jordan. Shy's Creations. Make sure you get to that website where the exclusive Sports City merchandise is. We got the new merch here. Yeah, the hat is coming, so that's on the way. That's looking lovely. But the new merch, cooking since 2012. You know how the chefs do. But I think it's 2009, right?
Is it 2009? You got the year numbers right. See, this is the villain. This is the part where he plays
this
ball.
This is why I screwed up.
You know what? So Superman and Lex Luthor, right? Lex Luthor pull out that doggone kryptonite, and I be hit. And it's like, yo, why, man? When I try to do some good, here he go, man. So Here goes Lex acting up. Now, I don't know what to do with these people, but I got to do it.
It's all good. 2009, yes, I know. I apologize. The villain, apologize. But let me bring in the other chefs in here, TP. We got our main man from the 970 from Colorado, Big E, Eazy-E. Eric, what's up, brother?
Good evening, my brothers. How are you doing tonight?
We are chilling, man. We just, you know, we in the lap of luxury, man. We love life. We love everything, man. We blessed and highly favored here, so... We doing big things, and then I also got to bring in my other nemesis, the guy that, you know, I think he's just mad because my Knicks weren't in the lottery and his were, and he still didn't win. He still couldn't win it. But from the 703, Mr. Serious himself, Aaron Simmons, who Malik, Uncle Barry's coming, Malik. I got to save you from that fool, from that vagabond. You know what I mean? Like, what's up, Serious? How you doing, brother?
Yo, man, it's your boy Serious, live in effect, man. Such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of the Call of Cookout, man. Definitely, just to piggyback on my man Thomas said, yo, a lot of stuff has happened around the kitchen, so. Don't worry about us. We got you, man. Go ahead and step up, grab you a place, get you a snapback. Working on fitters and this, that, and the third, man. Also got my man working on his tie. My man's trying to work on a tie, man. For those of you guys trying to be all, you know, bougie at the job, man. Got a tie working out. So I got some stuff working out, man. We're going to do some big things, man. So definitely check us out, man. I got some designs coming in. So, yeah, check it out, man. We're going to be official tissue here in a little bit.
Wow, you're going to have me wearing a suit and tie with Sports City on it? Okay.
Hold on. Don't do that. I done loosened up the tie. You can't do this to me. Linda, listen. Here's what the crazy part, Barry. You know what Sirius did today? I can't believe it, dog. You know what Sirius did today, y'all?
What do?
You know he don't like to say Meek Meep's name. You know he don't like to say it. You know that, right?
Right.
You know, in your head, don't say the name, but you know who Meek Meep is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he said that name today, viciously, in front of the world today. So listen, I'd like to give a round of applause to Aaron Sarah Simmons. I got you. I got to take the time out to give a round of applause. Because without him, he would have never got that out of his system. He's been hanging on to that for years. And he just came out with some news that he's trying to put a tie out there, too. This is amazing stuff for City. You guys are getting this is fresh. This is hot off the press, real news. You know what I'm saying? In the words of those old shows, you think you know, but you have no idea. Okay?
That's awesome, man. So yeah, I can't wait to see that tie, man. We definitely got to get the hat going. We gonna get this line out. I know y'all feeling the new logo, and it's beautiful. It's great work, and we got the shirts and everything popping since 2009. Ow, gotta get that right because I know I don't want to keep slapping me around. But you know, we do a big thing, so let's get to it, man. Let's get to it. Let's get to this sports talk. There was a lot of areas I wanted to go into. We could talk about the draft, maybe save that for the end of the show. You know, we got the NBA conference finals going on in the West and in the East, so we'll get into that. I definitely want to start. You know what? You guys tell me if you want to talk about Ryan Nassib or we want to go into NBA talk. You guys let me know how you guys are feeling, what you want to throw on the grill. TP, I'll hand it to you. What do you want to talk to first, and we can get into it?
I guess the Nassib situation, because it's not that big of a topic. I mean, it's big worldwide, but, like, it's not as big as the playoffs and everything that's in front of it. I feel like that'd be more meat and potatoes of the conversation.
Okay.
But, I mean, we can go any which way. I mean, however you want.
Yeah, let's start with that's a little appetizer that we could throw around. You know, if whoever doesn't know, I mean, I don't know if you've been living under a rock for the last couple of days, but Ryan Nassib was a defensive end for the Las Vegas Raiders openly came out came out of the closet and basically announced to the world that he is homosexual. Listen, I don't have any problem with that. I'm glad that he was comfortable enough to come out. I'm sad that we have to say he's comfortable enough or strong enough or what have you to come out. He should be able to be who he wants to be and not have any snickers. It's sad because I go around social media, I see posts about it, and, I know they're kids, they're stupid, making all kind of stupid comments and everything, but people that are mature that are our age knows that it's a different time, and congratulations to him, but he shouldn't have to be congratulated. He should be able to live his life. But he came out, announced it. That community needs that kind of person in the forefront. And, subsequently, his jersey is the number one seller so far. So, guess kind of being the poster child for the homosexual community. But I'll start this around, Sirius. I'll come to you first. I know you heard about NASA, coming out on, I think it was on social media, I think Instagram or something like that, and announcing to the world his status. But, real quick, just let me know how you feel, and then we can just get it moving.
Honestly, man, I said this on Monday, and I'm cool with it. What I'm saying? At the end of the day, it's unfortunate that a person's sexual interests or identity needs to be common knowledge to anybody, because let's keep it a buck, if he was heterosexual, this would be a non-story. This would be irrelevant.
Right.
But because he's not, and he feels the need to come out and make who he sleeps with or who he loves anybody's business. I'll be honest with you, I don't care. Play football, mm-hmm. Stay clean, don't get in any trouble off the field, and it's irrelevant to me, So, the fact that he's able to come out shows how far we've come as a society, but it also shows that we have a lot of work to do. So again, congratulations to him. I'm sure he's been carrying this for a long time. You and I had a dialogue off air about it, a tremendous weight is probably, released off him. He's able to, be free and live his life of, how he wants to live his life, and, props to him for that.
Yeah, Carl Nassib, not Ryan, my bad. Ryan's his brother. It's funny because I didn't want to come off cold, and you said it too, like, I don't care. Like, I I'm not saying that because I have any kind of homophobia. I don't. I just, I'm at the point in my life where I don't care. Like, you're gay, I accept you. You're my brother. You know what I mean? Like, you're part of this race, this human race. There's only one race. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's got to be news because people, it's something to talk about. Just like when, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. What color barrier, right? But, like, it's in that vein. But, like, to me, like, congratulations, but let's get to work. You know what I'm saying? Eric, how do you feel, brother? How do you feel about the news with Carl Nassib coming out and, actually going out of his way to also share that he's going to donate $100,000 to the Trevor Project, a suicide prevention organization for the LGBTQ youth community? Classy move by Carl Nassib on that end. But just real quick, touch on that that news that came out, and then we can keep it cooking.
Yeah, definitely a classy move with what he did with his donation, for sure. But I'm going to echo just what you guys are saying. It is what it is. Do you. You know what I mean? You should be able to do you. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, or what you want to do. It's just a sad thing that people get persecuted for things in this life. Not just that, but all kinds of things. About being open and honest. So, him coming out, that's good for him. But, it is irrelevant. You know, it really is irrelevant to what he's doing. Probably did it, you know, more of himself to – he's probably been holding on to that for a long time, like you said, Barry. So, you know, it's more or less for him. But, you know, and me as a sports fan, I don't care what he is or who he does. You know, I'm watching sports, so whatever you want to do, do you, as long as it's not affecting other people around you and, you know, being detrimental. So, but, you know, this is definitely not a detrimental thing. It's a good thing. And, yeah, everybody has their right to do and be what they want. But, you know, it doesn't bother me at all.
Absolutely. I couldn't say it better. TP Timeless, I mean, we could touch on Carl Nass, the Nassif news, and then we can keep it cooking. You know, just give me your quick reaction, and then we can move on.
The crazy part, so when jerseys sell, right, it goes to the organization
mm-hmm.
and the player, or just the organization?
I would think it goes, it's a rev share, right? So I think most of it goes to the league and then some of it goes to the player. I'm not sure how the sales go. We could double check that. That's a good point.
Right. I would like to check on that whenever we can. But him donating that money to, I guess, the foundation actually came back to him. So, like that was a smart move. And for him to be, you know, the highest selling jersey at this point in time, it's like, I don't know if he's fighting for attention because it's summertime. So I wouldn't even put him in the lines of, like, thinking that. It's just like, I guess now is the time that he wanted to do it, and how many other NFL players will end up speaking out, saying something. You know what I'm saying? So it's very interesting, and it's not like he's one of those down players. This guy has a hell of a resume to be a player out of Penn State, no less, and doing damage from the Browns to Tampa Bay to now being in Vegas with the Raiders. So it's going to be interesting on who else is strong enough to do it across the league. It's tough because you're still in that heightened environment where you're still going to be judged on what you say or do in this lifetime until it becomes a comfortable conversation. People are going to be uncomfortable about it. Even J.J. Watt coming out speaking up about it, it's like it helps because it's a guy that's on the defensive side of the ball that everybody across the league respects. I can see if it was just other names that people look at as another name, but you got J.J. Watt that everybody, like, look at J.J. like, yo, this is him. Like, and J.J.'s like, you know, soon we'll look at it like where it won't be, like, big news for it to be coming, you know, as common news or whatever. Like, it's going to take some time to get through it. So it's like you got to have that type of support of people around the league to, like, speak up and kind of help this individual. He may be comfortable where he's at now, but you got to think about him in that locker room. You got to think about him across the league against players that he's playing against and, you know, things of that nature. So it's going to be bigger than this. I support him in what he's doing, but, you know, just worried for the individual, especially for the organization that he's supporting, because that could have probably been a mindset that he fought with, you know what I'm saying, and feeling like he let that, you know, clear his mind, you know. So I give him a stamp for bravery. This is big, especially being on one of the biggest organizations in the NFL, whether they're a good team or not, but the Raiders mm-hmm. are a big organization, so let alone he's in the city of Vegas where crazy stuff goes down every single day. So, I mean, I applaud him for him being able to do this, but you got to worry about the backlash or the aftermath or stadiums he goes to or fans that throw stuff at him. Like, you're just hoping that he doesn't have to deal with that. Just let him live his life as long as possible, things of that nature. And I never knew. I knew they had the same last name, but I never knew that him and Ryan were brothers. So
yeah.
That's huge. And I wonder what Ryan says to have a statement to the people, too. You know, him being a former Giant quarterback and, you know, everything he's done from Syracuse, things of that nature. So this is a big step, I guess, for him and other individuals that are in that same light or darkness, however it may be viewed. And hopefully they get to a better way. I don't know how to judge this, but it's good for him to actually clear the air for himself. That's the best thing that I can say.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, you know, he is a trail.
I was going to say, I actually just pulled it up. So to answer the question about the revenue from jersey sales, long story
yep.
short, it gets shared between the league and the players.
Right.
And it goes into like the fee goes into like a pool of revenue that gets split, kind of like they do the TV deal, you know, revenue, whatever. So that's kind of what happened with all that. So,
Yeah, it's like a 60-40 for other things. I know it's called NFL Ventures, like merchandising and all that kind of stuff. So, but they don't really specify how the pool is split. But I'm pretty sure it's like most of it goes, you know, more than half goes to the team, and then the rest goes into a pool so that, you know, not a lot of people are buying, you know, Jaguars jerseys compared to Cowboys. So, you know, there's a shared pool, and then there's a pool to the regular team, to your point. Good stuff, Sirius. But, yeah, listen, you know, we're talking about 7 years removed since Michael Sam first came out in 2014. From that point where it was a lot – there was a backlash. There was a lot to it to now where, you know, we could sit here and say, we know it's huge. We know it's monumental. I'm happy for Nassib that he doesn't have to hide who he is. He can live his life. It's sad that you have to kind of hide who you are, you know, in this day and age, especially in NFL, quote-unquote, macho sport. But, you know, I think, you know, 7 years ago, it was a different time. Social justice and everything that's going on right now, it's a little bit more, I guess it's a easier blow to kind of come out and not have that backlash because, you know, they won't say it in your face, but, you know, you can kind of live and be who you are and not have to answer all the millions of questions and all that kind of stuff. So congratulations to him. But I definitely want to shift gears. We talked about the coaches that were being terminated and coaches that were going to be interviewed. I think D'Antoni, you know, Becky Hammon and Chauncey Billups got second interviews in Portland. But then today news broke that the first hiring that I know of is going to be finalized, and we're talking about, you know, the Boston Celtics hiring former Spurs and Nets assistant Ume Okuda. I don't want to butcher his name, Okuda. You know, very high, you know, Nigerian descent, you know, very, you know, very popular assistant, had a good run with the Spurs and the Nets and another team as well, but really kind of got vote of confidence from Celtics players with his work, especially on the World Tournament for the USA team. So he made his bones there. He wowed Brad Stevens and the staff and basically separated himself from the pack, and now he's going to be a minority head coach in the NBA. So, you know, congratulations to him. TP Timeless, I mean, with all the drama going on with the Celtics, they trade away their point guard to your Thunder. There's reports that, you know, that the homie Blake Griffin was told not to join the Celtics. An insider on the team said not to join the team because of the dysfunction. And you know, Brad Stevens, not the coach. Danny Ainge is out as the GM, and now Brad Stevens is in the front office, and then now they hired a pretty good hire, I would think, in Okuda. What do you think is going on in Boston? Do you like the hire? Do you like the kind of direction they're in? And can they fix this team with their two superstars and new head coach?
An interesting hire. It's great that he got hired, but Sports City, please be with me and where I'm about to go. I don't want to lose people. I don't want to make people mad or angry, which way I go. I repeat, I'm human, and I am a minority. So I do have emotion towards certain things, right? Mm-hmm. This is the city of Boston, and they have race issues there. And we've been hearing about it all the way up until this season. So they went with an African, I don't even know if he's African-American. I just want to say of African descent, like they said, like that.
Right, Nigerian, right.
Okay, coach, to help try to keep people there because there's already been rumblings of people trying to leave, including Tatum. So this is interesting that Brad Stevens or whoever up top went that way to try to get him there to try to appease to the players that are there, especially the African-American individual stars, superstars that they have there. So this is going to try, I feel like it's a helpful way for it to try to help turn things around in Boston, because Boston has had this go on for centuries. You see what I'm saying? So there's a lot of bricks to pull out, you know, because brick by brick, year by year, this has been going on. I deal with people on a daily basis within the shop that'll tell me, you know, they live in the Boston area and it's not comfortable. So hopefully that this is a storm or a fire that they could calm down and make things happen the right way in the city of Boston. I'm wanting to hear from other players how, like, you know, Jalen may feel or Jason Tatum may feel. I want to hear from them about how things have been going on in the city of Boston. Like, I've only gone to Boston to visit. Like, I haven't really been there sitting down there for, like, weeks on end. I've been there for, like, a week and three or four different times, and I'm right here in Connecticut.
Right.
But hear more about it from, you know, other people that go there for a game and really deal with angry fans or, you know, you, Barry, you being a Yankee fan, having to deal with the Boston Red Sox, New York Yankee rivalry, and then the cops will tell you before entering Fenway, don't wear that Yankee hat or it might be a fight or you get arrested. So it's like there's more than just, you know, what you see or hear about the city of Boston. So, again, people, I don't want to upset or offset anybody. I apologize if I do, but I know that this is something that can help turn things around. But I think this is a great hire. Hopefully it works out. And, by the way, I'm a huge Nia Long fan. I got to say that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I like you, I haven't, you know, stayed in the Boston area for extended periods of time, but I've been out there, went to school in New Hampshire. I'm not going to sit here and say the whole town is or the whole city is racist. That's just a really blanket statement. That's not fair to a lot of people I know from the area. But I'm saying I don't want to say that. Like, I know you weren't saying that, but I don't want to sit here and say, yeah, that, because it's easy for me to come out and say, yep, Boston is racist, because that blankets the whole town. You know what I mean? I know people that live in that area, live outside that area. I got a friend that I work with, a couple that live in Boston, and they're not racist. But let's be clear. I've had my bouts in Boston. I'm not going to lie to you. So when I tell people of my experience there, I don't try to say it as the whole town. I try to say it as my experience in that town that I could have had in New York. I could have had in Philly, or I could have had in D.C. when I've been there. I could have had out west, down south. You know what I mean? Like, I had it in South Carolina, in the deep south. Like, I had it all over the place, all right? But to your point, TP, there are three candidates that they had. All were minorities. You're talking about Darvin Ham, Chauncey Billups, and Ikuda. I want to say his name right. We gotta fact check that. But yeah, there seemed to be a conscious effort to make sure that they had a minority voice. Maybe that there's a reason for that, not just because of what Kyrie Irving said, but maybe because, you know, they had a white coach, a white GM, maybe all white staff, blah blah blah. You know, maybe they couldn't reach the players because of that. Who knows? But they, you know, it's really, I don't look at coincidence. The only thing is the illusion of coincidence that their top three hires were minorities. So, Sirius, I'll come to you. I mean, Boston. Interesting hire that they had. I like it. I think, you know, he's very qualified, but, you know, will it fix what's going on in Boston as far as him relating to the players? He's 43 years old. Can he relate to his stars and get them on the right track?
You know, it's funny because it's not often that Thomas and I are in lockstep with takes of sports, but unfortunately, I find myself scratching my head more with this particular hire than I do applauding it, and that is unfortunate because, you know, he is very, very qualified. He has paid his debt. He's sat on a bench, you know, been an assistant, and done work in this league far before he, you know, got the call to you know, interview and subsequently get hired by Brad Stevens. But so much, like, you know, you all are alluding to, has been made about the city and the fans of Boston. And I'm all for pushing the envelope and doing whatever is needed to to be forward thinking, to attempt to change the narrative, to attempt to bridge a gap and bring out front and in your face awareness. I just hope that, you know, that wasn't the main reason why he was hired. We speak about this sort of stuff and when it comes to the NFL and the Rooney Rule as a place where you want to, you know, interview the token minority guy to check a box, where you want to interview a minority guy just because it's a role, but you have no intention on offering a position to him because you already have your guy in mind. I hope Brad Stevens and the organization didn't do that in this particular case. And so time will tell. You know, can he relate to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and the players on that team? Time will tell. Can he be the catalyst for change and eradicating the negative stereotype that is associated with the fans of Boston? Time will tell. I am hopeful. I am very, very, very much rooting for the guy. But on a day where he should be celebrated and praised and encouraged for his accolades and his accomplishment, I find myself sitting here questioning it, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. The time will tell. Timeless time. You know, I think it's a good hire at the end of the day because he is qualified. He is a good coach. But you know, I always look at the motives. I got to, like you guys said, and that there might be more to it. But you know, let's give him a chance. Let's let him do his thing and see what happens. You know, Eric, I'll come to you first. I'll come to you last. I mean, and then we got a caller in queue. I definitely want to bring in to get in on this conversation. You know, let me know. What do you think about the Boston hire? Them hiring the Nets assistant Boston from away from the Brooklyn Nets. You know, Okuda or Duda, I don't know. I got to get the name right. You know, and how he's going to relate to their two stars, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart, too, who also vouched for him. You know, how is he going to come in and hopefully fix the culture of what's going on in Boston and get them back on the winning track? Because this year was very disappointing for Boston.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and it's kind of head-scratching, like you guys mentioned. You know, I was thinking they were going other routes, but nonetheless, he is qualified. It is a good hire to change the atmosphere, but I just can't wait till the day, gentlemen, that we don't have to worry about this, because it's ridiculous, it's unfair, and we see it in the NFL everywhere. So many coaches just get bypassed. Because they already have their guy set in stone, and they're just doing something to satisfy a rule that unfortunately has to be in play. We shouldn't have to worry about stuff like that. But, yeah, it'll be good to change the culture. He's inheriting one of the – I mean, this team is a few players away from building a dynasty if they can keep Tatum and Brown and build around these guys. We all saw them get close, but Brad Stevens kind of backpedaled with them instead of going forward. I think he can relate to the players, and this guy, you know, has some knowledge from Pop. That's going to help out. So I'm eager to see what happens. I'm excited about the hire, and the bottom line is the culture needs to change everywhere, not just in Boston.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's inheriting a good job that I think can if he gets through to the players, who I think Brad Stevens kind of got tuned out a little bit, you know, he can make it work there. But it's going to be an uphill battle. I mean, honestly, you got two stars there, but they need depth. They need some bench players. You know, there's a lot there. They need size too. I don't know why they went after Fournier, instead of Valanciunas, but, They got some issues there in the inside, but it could get a lot worse. But I'm going to bring in another chef, a new chef, to the kitchen. Everybody give him a nice hello, and you know, while he puts his apron on. We got calling out of the 951, Steve. Steve, how you feeling this evening?
How's it going, gentlemen? Thanks for having me.
What's up, Steve? We're good, man. We are cooking. So we're definitely talking about the new hire, Yekuta, coming in from Boston, from Brooklyn, as an assistant to coach the Boston Celtics. He inherits a very interesting job where they're trying to they clean the house a little bit, but traded away Kemba Walker, make a little cap space. Brad Stevens out as the coach, Danny Ainge out as the GM. So a lot of shakeup going on in Boston. What do you like about this hire? If you like it, what don't you like? What do you think? How can he fix this this team on the court?
Well, as a Laker fan, I hope that Boston never fix what's been ailing them for a number of years. But that aside, there's three things I could say about this. Number one is there's a rule that you want to try to plunder the team that you're trying to overcome to get to where you want to be. Boston hiring away Ime Udoka from Steve Nash's staff, who just completed his rookie season, I think is a smart move because you're taking someone away valuable from a team that you're trying to overcome to get back to the NBA Finals. That's number one. Number two, I think if the players sign off on a coach, you definitely want that coach to come in because, let's face it, the NBA is a player-driven league. So players like the coach coming in, that is a great start to begin with because those players are going to play hard and maybe they will stay. And certainly Boston needs Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to stay because if they don't, then Boston's going to be where they were before Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown got there and started doing what they were doing. The third thing I might add is even with a smart hire, taking them away from Brooklyn and having players like Brown and Tatum on your roster, Boston's got to figure out that point guard situation. Let's face it, they had Kyrie Irving. That didn't work out. They had Kemba Walker. That didn't work out. They got to figure out that point guard situation. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum basically need a quarterback to get them the ball where they want to so they can do what they do and do it at a high level consistently. So they got to figure out that point guard situation, and that's what Ime Udoka and Brad Stevens in particular, who promoted himself in effect, is going to have to figure out. And when they do figure that out, again, as a Laker fan, I hope they don't, but if and when they do figure it out, then they can get to that next level where they were back when Doc Rivers was coaching the Big Three back then with Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen and Rajon Rondo. When they can figure that part of it out, the point guard situation in particular, and add some depth, then they'll be on to something, particularly if they can re-sign Evan Fournier, which they're probably going to do now they have some financial flexibility with that trade of Kemba Walker. But they've got to figure out that point guard situation. If they do, then they can get to that next level and really compete with Philly, Milwaukee, and Brooklyn in the Eastern Conference.
I mean, you know, not Steve, welcome to the cookout. I mean, I can't do this with a lot of Laker fans. I mean, I need more Knicks fans in here. I mean, I'm surrounded by Thunder and Rockets and Lakers. Oh, my. It's crazy. But no, I'm kidding. Welcome to the kitchen. I love your points, man. You make a great point about the fact that, you know, maybe it's not you, it's me. Like, maybe it's not the fact they had two good point guards and it didn't work out. Maybe it's something with Jason Tatum. Maybe it's something with Jaylen Brown. I think they're phenomenal players, but, you know, you had two good point guards in here and it didn't work out. So, you know, they need a veteran, you know, point guard like Rajon Rondo or somebody that can come in and get them in their spots, them going. So I do like that take. I don't know if anybody else has anything to add before we shift gears to the playoffs. Okay.
No, just hope it works out for him. I hope it's not a short leash like, you know, other coaches that have gone through their situation or the 1 year situation that Van Gundy just went through down there in New Orleans. Even though I wanted him to get rid of Van Gundy because I didn't want to watch him mess up Zion's progression. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully this works out. Hopefully this actually puts Boston in a better tone in the Eastern Conference because it's crazier and crazier year after year, especially dealing with Brooklyn, Philly having this chip on their shoulder of losing as early as they did into this postseason. So Boston's going to have their hands full. hopefully they're ready to at least make a second round or Eastern Conference final again.
It's going to get tough. East is only getting better. Go ahead, Terry.
You know, Thomas, I think you hit the nail on the head, you know what I'm saying? How long or short of a leash is Brad Stevens going to have on this guy? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've all seen the one-and-done coaches who, you know, one season signed this massive deal or this multiple-year deal, and then for whatever reason, lose the locker room or, you know, they change their mind or whatever the case may be. How big of a leash, you know, is he going to have? You know, it's crazy you mentioned – what happened with the Pelicans. You know, we were talking about that for the longest time, and I'm just like, yo, are you seriously doing that right now? I really do hope that he gets a long tenure there. And you know, whatever. I'm hearing reports now that Steven Silas may be out, you know, in Houston. You know, and he was only signed, you know, 1 year. So, and, you know,
that's a mercy,
you know,
for him. That's a mercy for him.
You know,
yeah,
I'm going to need you go ahead and shut your face, sir. You know what I'm saying? Cause, again, ain't nobody beating down the door to come play or coach in New York. Ain't nobody doing that. And if you want to get technical, Monty Williams should have been the coach of the year. But that's another conversation another day. You know what I'm saying? Don't start with me, sir. Don't start with me.
As I sip my drink.
I got the time today.
Yeah, I hope Silas is not out. I think he's a good young coach. I'm glad he got his shot. If Houston is dumb enough to move on from him, they'll pay for it because I think he's a really good coach. That just needs time and gets the right pieces around him. So I hope they don't give up on him. But I agree with you. It was hard because Boston could use a veteran voice for those young players to get them in line, but you also want a young coach that can relate to these players. So it's a delicate balance that they chose to go with the younger coach that can relate to them. Maybe, you know, Brad Stevens, he was young, but they couldn't relate to him. So we'll see how that works out. But very interesting in Boston. But, you know, speaking of which, TP, you brought up a great situation in Philly. We haven't talked about it in the kitchen, so I definitely want to bring it up. How the Sixers, listen, game one is going on Milwaukee and Atlanta. It's not the game one that anybody expected in the Eastern Conference Finals. We are talking about Brooklyn and Philadelphia not reaching the Eastern Conference Finals when we thought those two teams were a lock to meet head-to-head in this game. So I'll start in Philadelphia first. Major disappointment losing to the Hawks game seven at home, losing two games in Philadelphia to lose that series to a hot Atlanta team. Trae Young, Ice Trae, Herder killed them. But, I mean, the story of that series is how Ben Simmons just failed to show up and did not have a good series, was afraid to shoot, afraid to do anything. I think it was afraid of his shadow, and it came back to haunt this team. Steve, I'll come right to you first since you're new in the kitchen. Talk to me about the Philadelphia 7.
I had another phone call on the other line, so please tee it up for me. I apologize.
No, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Listen, it happens. Okay. We all get called. If it's a booty call, then feel free to hang up. But no, I'm kidding.
I don't think my girlfriend would like that, actually, but that's an issue.
you never know. My wife is, she went to bed, so I can talk like that. TP knows that. Miss Jordan don't play. Philadelphia, major disappointment not getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, the second straight year. First with Doc Rivers, a lot of blame to be levied around, but a lot of the blame right now going to Ben Simmons. How big of a disappointment is it that the Sixers failed to get to the Eastern Conference Finals? And what happens next? Is it who gets the most blame, and how do they fix this process that's seemingly broken right now?
I you know what? I hate the blame game, to be honest with you. It's okay, Philadelphia was the number one seed in the East. They should go to the NBA Finals. I really wish we could be much smarter fans in the sports world. I really do. The media just plays on this stuff. They perpetuate the stupidity of all this. But that's neither here nor there. One, you putting the blame is wholly on Ben Simmons would be akin to you saying that Ben Simmons is the only guy out there on the court. He wasn't. Joel Embiid is not a very well-conditioned athlete, let's face it. He's got to work on his conditioning. So does Anthony Davis from my Lakers. These guys got to work on their conditioning, and they got to get involved in Tai Chi or yoga or Pilates or something that is going to allow them to be healthier, not only physically but mentally as well, and give them balance to go along with their strength and their power and their athleticism. And there's no question that Davis and Embiid have both those things going for them, but I think they need to work on their balance and their core and things of that nature, and they could be healthier and that much more impactful with all the talent that they have. So I think Embiid, you know, has some culpability here. I also think Doc Rivers has a lot of culpability. First of all, he's lost four straight game sevens, tying Rick Adelman for that dubious mark. And there's a reason for that. One, Doc Rivers is not good at in-game adjustments. Two, Doc Rivers, I think, is a little too favoring of his stars, just a little too favoring. You got to protect Ben Simmons. You know, Ben Simmons is struggling for the free throw line. You get Atlanta on the penalty. Atlanta plays defense by going to the hack of Simmons, like the old hack of Shaq. You got to get him out of the game. But the reason why Doc Rivers won't do that is because of the money he's getting paid and because Ben Simmons is an all-star. He was nearly defensive player of the year. He's a great passer. He can get to the rim just about any time he wants. But he's a lousy free throw shooter. He does not shoot it from the perimeter whatsoever. So in that instance, you're playing 4-on-5 offensively. Doc Rivers has got to recognize that and put someone in that can make shots and, you know, and also can make free throws like a Shake Milton or someone like that. So I think Doc Rivers has some culpability here in terms of how he's setting, you know, how he's setting up Ben Simmons on the court and not protecting him enough. Joel Embiid needs to be a better conditioned athlete to go along with all the talent that he has. And Philadelphia, and Tobias Harris also, you know, he's got to step up as part of that big three. He's got to be able to make some shots when they matter the most, and he wasn't really able to do that. So I don't put all the blame on Ben Simmons. I think there's a lot of blame to go around to other people if you're going to play that, if you're going to play the blame game. As for what happens next, I think they're going to trade Simmons. I would be shocked if he is in Philadelphia's training camp next year. I really would. I think Ben Simmons needs to go to a team that has a lot more offensive firepower than Philadelphia does. He could be a defensive specialist. He can be a guy that sets everybody else. He's got to go to a team like Brooklyn, for example, although he won't end up there. But Brooklyn having three reliable scorers, he's got to go to a team like that, to where he can be the passer and the defensive specialist that he can be for a long time in this league, because he's probably never going to be the offensive player that you want him to be in terms of shooting. So he needs to go to a team like that, and that's just not Philadelphia right now.
Yeah, I mean, I said it on the clubhouse, Steven, a couple days ago, and I said, you know, Ben Simmons will not survive in Philadelphia over the summer. He needs to be out of town. You know, there was a report that came out on First Take that he's basically babied in Philadelphia, and he doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, that now that that's got out, like, Philadelphia will eat you alive. It's not New York, it's not Boston, but it's just as tough, and the fans are just as hard. He has a no fly zone, like they said in the clubhouse. He is not allowed in Philadelphia right now. Eric, I'm going to come right to you, brother. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the Philadelphia Sixers, 76ers, failing to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. To Steve's point, maybe it's not fair to levy all the blame on somebody, but, you know, give me your factors on why they didn't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and what happens to them next? Where do they go from here?
Well, absolutely. You can't just, I mean, with what the question you just asked, the factors were definitely Ben Simmons and Doc Rivers. That's just the bottom line. We all saw that monumental collapse in Game 5 when they could have finished off the series, and they gave up a 26-point lead and lost. besides Curry and Embiid that game, no one else showed up. So, you know, you got to look at your other players to perform too, and that's kind of how it was the rest of the series. Besides Embiid, no one has really taken initiative to step up and help out, and it's got to be a team effort. They have the roster on paper. They have the depth. It's like, okay, these guys can perform. You can, you know, count on your bench to come in and handle it. But watching that game, when they gave up that lead, they just, I mean, they fell asleep. It's like having your foot on the gas pedal driving and then just completely letting up and never putting it down again. That should never happen. And the 76ers learned the hard way. Again, they're out of the playoffs. Doc Rivers needs to go back to the drawing board. He needs to be an in-game. I mean, he needs to adapt to what's going on in games. You got to be able to do that in this league, especially in the heat of the moment in the playoffs, and he just didn't do it. So Ben Simmons, yeah, definitely need to – I don't see him staying there in Philadelphia because, like you guys just said, the fans are really unhappy. He just – and look how he is out there. He doesn't blend in or just – he's got to be taking shots. He's got to be helping out. Great defender, but his offense needs to he needs to start being the player that we – I mean, he's shown flashes of this. He's shown flashes that he can score and shoot, so he just doesn't do it on a consistent basis.
I mean, Doc Rivers, you can't play 10 guys in game 7.
Yeah.
You got to roll with the guys that got you there. I agree with both of you. The in-game adjustments were poor. I mean, but losing Danny Green kind of hurt them a little bit. Ben Simmons, I don't think you have to keep him on the floor because he's an all-star and he's paid. I think you got to keep him on the floor because he's a defender, and he was probably the only guy that could defend Trae Young. But, I mean, when I'm looking at Ben Simmons got an open dunk and passing the ball off, an open dunk in your with what? It was a one-possession game, and you're passing the ball. I mean, that's all you need to know right there. I mean, serious, I'll come right to you, brother. I mean, Philadelphia, is the process dead? What's going on in Philly? What are the factors? What happened in this series from your perspective, and where do they go from here?
You know, honestly, man, there's a couple of things that happened in this series. First and foremost, Doc Rivers was outcoached. In my honest opinion, Doc Rivers was outcoached. There is no way that I can let Doc Rivers off the hook here. I said this on my social media outlet, and I'm going to say it here in the kitchen. If people got an issue with it, they can come see me. Doc Rivers is the black version of Stan Van Gundy. This is a guy who has consistently underachieved, and yet keeps getting opportunities and keep getting jobs and this, that, and the third. At some point, you can't continue to rest on the merit of your one championship that you got several years ago. You do not play well in game 7. You fail to make any adjustment mid-game, at halftime, whatever the case may be, you know what I'm saying? When the Hawks made that run in game number 5, you know what I'm saying, you kept Joel Embiid on the bench too long. And I understand he's battling with the meniscus and, you know, like my man Steve alluded to, this is one of the most frail, brittle big men in today's game. But at the end of the day, you were coaching a game 5 to take a significant advantage in this series, and you failed to answer the 10 count. So I'm not going to put the blame solely on Ben Simmons. However, Ben Simmons, if I were you, whatever city you go to, I would live in the gym. I would live in the gym. I wouldn't do nothing else but shoot. I wouldn't do nothing else but shoot. I don't care who you have to pay. I don't care who you have to hire. I would do nothing but shoot. Because ultimately, your lack of confidence in shooting that ball was another factor in the reason why you lost. Let's keep it a buck, man. I said this. I think it was in the barbershop, or I don't know if I texted you guys or whatever the case may be. This guy, literally, between game 4 through 7, shot the ball a total of maybe 10 times. the whole rest of the series. This man averaged damn near 8 points the rest of the series. He shot 34% from the free throw line. You cannot be counted on to come up big when your team needs you. Now, again, Joel Embiid did his thing sizzle. I give him that. So my issue isn't with necessarily Joel Embiid, although, again, he disappears in the fourth quarter as well, which is weird. But, again, he did the best he could with one leg and no win. Tobias Harris, where the hell were you? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I can keep naming things, but this is a collective team effort. But ultimately, if I am cutting a piece of pie, a blame pie, if you will, Doc Rivers, you will get the biggest piece, bro. You getting the biggest piece because, unfortunately, when the ship goes down, you're the head man, so it starts with you. You didn't do what you needed to do. You didn't have your team prepared. You didn't have your team conditioned. You didn't have somebody or yourself talking to Ben Simmons, making sure that he understood that his contributions were valuable, that he's welcome to take a shot, that he's welcome to take a dunk. Yo, are we remembering the fact that this man had a layup at point blank range and a close and crunch time and passed it out for a contested 3-point shot? You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was under the rim. All you had to do was lay the ball up. Dunk the basketball. But no, this man passed the ball up because he was in his head so much that he didn't want to get fouled, that he didn't want to go to the free throw line. Somebody has to be on that sideline, be on that bench and get in this man's head and be like, yo, bro, knock him down. Knock him down. You be right. Knock him down. Knock him down. So I think Doc Rivers catches the most heat for this one.
Yeah, I mean – I agree with you, man. Listen, Joel Embiid and Anthony Davis and company, you're getting paid millions of dollars. There's no reason for you to get hurt. You know me, serious TP and the crew. Like, I'm the biggest LeBron hater there is because I can't stand the guy. Just can't stand him. But I got to respect the fact that, you know, outside of a guy rolling underneath him, this guy takes care of his body. He's in the gym 365 days a year. And he takes care of his body. He doesn't get hurt. He gets hurt because of freakish accidents. He doesn't get hurt by nagging injuries because he's not taking care of himself. God knows what he's doing in the offseason. We know what he's doing. He's working. Embiid, you need to work. And we already know that it's come out that Ben Simmons doesn't work. He doesn't put in the work. And it's clear because you can shoot all the shots you want in summer league, but you're not shooting when it counts in money time. And that's ridiculous. The whole game is an offense, but TP, please come in here and clean this up, and then I want to definitely talk about more about Ben Simmons, but talk to me about the Sixers, TP. What happened? What were the factors in them losing this debacle, blowing the series to the Hawks, and where do they go from here?
First and foremost, yes, the big blame goes to the head coach, and I'll get to Doc in a minute because there's so much to spill around the board. I don't want to put too much on the condition of Embiid, even though he could be healthier. He was an MVP candidate. I can't lay all of this at Joel Embiid's feet. Joel Embiid, the only thing that hurts me with Joel Embiid is him living by that jump shot. Like, he literally turned into this megastar with Philly. And he'll cross half court with the ball and just pull up. It's like, wait, you're a center. And not only like a center that can control the ball and make passes, but a shoot. But it's like you're shooting the ball with like 19 or 18 seconds left on the shot clock. Nothing has moved within that offense, let alone you're already playing 4-on-5 basketball, which goes back to Doc Rivers not crushing that mentality that does not remain in his head to play like that. So that's the only thing I could look at Joel Embiid on the responsibility or being accountable for playing basketball on that, because he could have did it much better, especially when they were down four. They needed a bucket. He tried to walk the ball into a post play and got his pocket picked by Danilo Gallinari. There is no way that Danilo Gallinari plays any amount of defense and picks your pocket for a wide-open dunk that sealed the game for you. That's the only thing I'm looking at with Embiid. Enough is enough with your capability to do it on the floor. You got to do what's burying teams. 2000, 2001, 2002, Shaquille O'Neal knew what you were when you were weak. Shaquille O'Neal buried you and your team. No matter what was happening, you all got in foul trouble, i.e. the Sacramento Kings, Scott Pollard, Vlade Divac, Funderburk, whoever they tried to bring over that bench that could D-Shack couldn't, they were getting in foul trouble, they were out of there. They were out of there. Chris Webber, foul trouble, all of them out of there. Joel, you are helping teams while you're launching three-point shots. That's the only thing that I have for Joel Embiid. Tobias Harris, you're getting a lot of money for single-digit out effort in one of those games where you guys could have sealed the deal. These were games that you guys could have won the series and got away with it and didn't, and let Atlanta come back and take the series from you. Absolutely crazy. If you did not see that alley-oop dunk just now by Trae Young to John Collins, absolutely sickness. But anyway, so back to this.
Oh, my God. Damn. Back on the poster. Yo, something's going to be on the T-shirt. Something's going to be on the T-shirt again.
Brooke Lopez. So I don't want to put too much with the Tobias Harris because it was like only a few games of him playing like that, but that's a whole other story for another situation. I think Tobias can bounce back. If I looked at this pie, I would go like 15% Embiid, like 8-10% Tobias Harris. So what would that be like? Let's just say 25. There's 75 left, right? I say 45% of it is Doc Rivers. The other 30 is Benjamin Simmons. Benjamin Simmons, you are a 6'10" player that would rather be a point, whatever you are, point forward or point guard, whatever they try to consider you. Every man that walks on a basketball court, I don't care if it's rec league, I don't care if it's upstart, I don't care if it's youth league, I don't care if it's high school, I don't care if it's middle school, I don't care if it's college, I don't care if it's semi-pro or G League or professional basketball in NBA, you can dribble and pass. You have two arms, you have two legs, you can work the ball up the floor, and you can pass the ball. That is not like a hidden talent. Like if people worked on it, then great, you can make some good, you know, exclusive one-hand pass and so on and so forth. Enough is enough. You've been practicing. He has been putting in work. He does workout video that he puts on YouTube. You can see him working out in the same gym that Carmelo, LeBron, and him work out here in New York City. So he does work out. One thing it is a mental block. He is trying not to let that team down by missing a shot. But you know what I would do? I would call a huddle and a timeout, break it up, let them walk out on the floor. The other four would be like, yo, Ben, go out there. I'd be like, yo, listen, give him the ball every possession at the five-second mark. So he got to shoot it. I don't care what happens. He can miss all 30 shots. I don't care. That has to break. It's a mental block. Only one that could probably get him out of that is his father. Like Mr. Simmons, the one that used to play professional basketball, I think overseas, that's the only one that could get him out of that. He's going to have that mentality to not take the shot to feel like he let them down. It's a mentality that he doesn't want to, like, be the fall guy. But now he's being the fall guy with that happening. He passed up a dunk at the rim after doing a spin move on Danilo Gallinari, and Trae Young was there. So who are you worried about? Or you're really worried about the foul because you can't make a foul shot. But are you worried about Gallinari blocking your shot from behind or Trae Young in front of you that you can make a poker out of? Like, this is ABC basketball. They better that guy didn't let me be 6'10", 6'9", because I dunk on people on purpose. Like, I go down there and just keep dunking. Like they, you know, like, this dude won't stop. I'm coming. I'm dunking. Like, let everybody know, yo, he not playing. Like, listen, I'm going to keep doing. You passed up a shot that ended up going to Thibault that ended up being a foul anyway. Like, what are you doing? How do you get out of this funk? Like, who is going to make you a scorer or a shooter other than fast break dunks or you sitting under the rim getting an alley-oop from guards or Embiid throwing you an alley-oop from the top of the key? Like, this is annoying watching him play basketball like this. It's like Ben Simmons, I think, in his career in the NBA has taken less than 25 three-point shots in his career probably. I think it's low like that. Like, it's like,
yeah,
what to be done? That's disgusting that they – okay, and let me put it in perfect perspective. Even though inflation times are, you know, times have changed, so on and so forth, Michael Jordan's last year in the league, he was getting paid $30 million for that year to play basketball. Do you know Ben Simmons is getting paid $30 million this year to play basketball at a rate like that? That's absolutely ridiculous. In seven games in a NBA basketball series, he scored three field goals in seven different games combined. Combined. It's three or five. I really think it's three, though, but it could be five if I'm missing the number. Don't quote me on that number. But even if it's five, that's for $30 million? Are you out of your mind? Like, no way, no how. You have to figure this out not now, right now. But the rest of this goes to Glenn Doc Rivers. You mean to tell me that you just lost two different leads over 25 points and lost the game twice? You are in a situation that Steve just hit on, or losing game sevens at an NBA clip right now? Like, this is a record? This is you tied with Edelman? Like, you mean to tell me that you have two all-stars or a megastar MVP candidate on your team and you can't beat Atlanta at home? At home. Like, there is a lot to figure out, let alone, I know I'm not an NBA coach, but if it were me, and I feel like I'm calling out NBA coaches, and I'm not, I'm just saying this. If we have a 26-point lead and we got Dwight Howard on the floor, if that bleeding cut to, like, 17 or 16, yo, all of y'all get up right now. Everybody get up, because I don't want to see this go in the mayhem. You let this thing get down to, like, 11. Where they are already confident that they could get back into this game, and it happened twice. It happened twice. Doc Rivers, I can no longer go to bat for you at all. You won championship? Question mark. You were in Boston with a whole bunch of talent, a point guard that came out of Kentucky with a point to prove, a shooting guard in Ray Allen that just left Seattle, and you guys made the good move to send him for Jeff Green and KG and Paul Pierce trying to prove a point before they start getting to the latter point of their career. After that, you have the breakup in Orlando where T-Mac never got out of a first round. You got all of the situations after they won that championship in Boston and him not getting over the hump again. Then he gets to the Clippers and has been losing ever since. He gets to the postseason and loses so many different times. He has three game sevens before this game seven, which makes it four. Are you serious? Glenn Doc Rivers, you need to get your head out of the clouds. There's other words I would say, but we're on air. I would terrorize you. The bulk of this goes to you. I don't care how many people try to protect you or love you because of your nature or things of that, but I'm not trying to hear it. You get a ton of it. Ben Simmons is right behind you. Tobias, I give you that 10% because of that one game where you and Ben didn't help each other out, and you guys clearly could have won the game if you guys scored a bucket more apiece. And that's that. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Gets blamed, but Tobias Harris, man, you're getting paid a lot of money, man. Really? This is really, I mean, Ben Simmons signed a 5-year, $67 million extension a couple years ago. That looks like a bad contract right now. I mean, the way he's playing. But, you know, to your point, Doc Rivers is culpable as well. I mean, listen, there's a lot of blame to go around. Ben Simmons, I think your time in Philadelphia is finished. I had my team that I think he should go to. Steve threw one out there. I'll bring it around to the kitchen. You know, Eric, I'll start with you. I mean, I think the consensus is that Ben Simmons needs to be out of Philadelphia. The process is dead. It's over. It's a disgrace how much money they stole from the fans to tank and then get the players that they got. And two of the three players they got as number one picks or top picks, Markelle Fultz is in Orlando, and Ben Simmons should be on his way out of town. The process is over. It's a wrap. It didn't work. Ben Simmons, where does he go now? What's the best scenario for him? And if you think it's staying in Philadelphia and fixing him, fine. But where do you think he should go?
I'm gonna pick two teams here, and I'm thinking the Boston Celtics and the Lakers. And as a Laker fan, it's kind of you know questionable, but just because of his defense, and he wouldn't need to be a major scorer there. He could just facilitate and play defense. Same thing as going to Boston being a nice piece to both of these teams. But the sad thing is this contract, $30 million a year. I mean, that's ludicrous. Why would they give somebody that type of contract? And then look how they performed in the playoffs. So it's going to be hard. If his stock is extremely low now, gentlemen, after this performance, there's not going to be too many takers for Ben Simmons. And the fact that they got to take on that contract with it, the Sixers are going to have to pay to get rid of him. They're going to have to add some more pieces or actually pay money with a trade to get rid of him because his stock's extremely low right now. So I think his options are limited. You know, unfortunately for Philadelphia, they're in a bad spot right now because they did that horrible contract, and it's going to be hard for them to get out of it. I don't see too many teams knocking at the door to get Ben Simmons.
No, I don't either. I mean, $30 million to play defense? Please.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not Ray Lewis. I mean, what are we talking about here, man? We need to do more than that, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm serious. I mean, I think the process is dead. I don't know about you, but, I mean, where does Ben Simmons play next year?
You know, there's one team that I've seen linked to Ben Simmons, and, you know, this could be, you know, just off-season, you know, hyperbole, but the Portland Trail Blazers come to mind. And here's why. All signs look that they are potentially going to move on from one of the two guards in the backcourt, whether it's Dame Dollar or CJ. You know, whichever one goes, Ben Simmons can slide, you know, slide into that two spot or that one spot, if you will, and kind of run the show and play defense, you know, and kind of do that thing. You know, honestly, the Portland Trail Blazers need more defense, you know, and so I think the Blazers are a possible landing spot for him. Another landing spot for him would be the New Orleans Pelicans. You know, I'm not too sure, you know, money-wise how that works out, but, you know, if you're able to surround Zion and Ingram with a legitimate floor general. You know, I mean, because, again, don't get it twisted. Ben Simmons sees the floor. He makes the passes. He goes in there and grabs boards. And, you know, he's not going to lead the team to scoring. And you don't want him to try to do that because he can't shoot. But if you can surround him with weapons where he can just see it, throw it, you know, read it, make the pass, make the play, you know, get hype, you know, dunk on somebody, get to the bucket, you know, a miniature version of Giannis, you know, who doesn't have another post move or another move other than bulldozing his way to the bucket, then I think that would be good. So I'm going to give you two. So the Portland Trail Blazers and the Pelicans come to mind.
I mean, I had mentioned Portland on the clubhouse and on the barbershop and got a lot of reviews on that. I mean, listen, I agree with you. First of all, you're right, Eric. They would have to give up assets to get rid of Ben Simmons, a draft pick or something, or get a third team involved. That's what I feel. But, you know, to steal your quote, Eric, the Sixers would be, not to say the Trailblazers would be sniffing glue if they traded Ben Simmons for Dame Dollar.
Oh,
McCollum?
Oh, God,
yes. Yes. I mean, McCollum is definitely the guy that if I'm Philadelphia, I'm begging. I'll give you anything. You know, I'm like Frank at Scarface. Anything. $10 million, Tony. $10 million. You want Elvita. You know, anything to get McCollum for Ben Simmons. Why? Because it's a perfect fit. They need a scorer on the outside that can complement Embiid in Philadelphia. And Portland, to your point, Sirius, they need wing defenders. They need defense. They don't need more shooting. They got shooters galore. They got scorers. They got Dame Dollar that will handle the ball and control the offense. They need defense. You know what I mean? I think it's a great fit. Steve, I'll come to you. I mean, or did I come to you already? I don't even know. I might have. I don't know. I'm kind of all over the place.
Not on this.
Talk to me. The process is the process dead, Steve? And where do you see Ben Simmons playing next year? What uniform will he be wearing for $30 million a year?
As for the process was a failure from the beginning because they predetermined to do something. One thing about an NBA season is that it's a journey, and the journey is having a plan. A plan that is going to lead to success. That is, you know, when you're in business, you don't plan to fail. You plan to have success. The Sixers planned to fail. That was their first mistake, and a big one at that. And now here they are. you know, if you're going to lose to win, you know, if you got to lose all those games to get into the playoffs and not go as deep as you should have as a number one seed, the process failure should have never begun. So I think teams have to learn, take Philadelphia's process and consider it a cautionary tale, because you should have a plan that leads you to success, not failure. So that's all I'm going to say about that. As for where he ends up, Portland makes a lot of sense for everything that you guys just said. Defensively, he would definitely upgrade them in that department. They could use some help. You still have Damian Lillard to handle the ball and to make shots and free throws when they need to be made. We'll see who Portland hires as a head coach, because Terry Stotts is out. So hiring whoever they hire as a head coach is probably going to play a role in whether they make that deal or not. But I also want to throw this team in that I just read about on Bleacher Report, the San Antonio Spurs. Now, it is not their nature to make blockbuster trades. They are a button-up organization, if ever there was one. But they're a button-up organization that just ended a 20 or 22-year streak of making the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs this year. And Greg Popovich, who doesn't appear to be walking away from coaching anytime soon, is the type of guy that will yell at a player if he's wide open and doesn't shoot it. I think that's what Ben Simmons needs, is someone who's going to actually encourage him to shoot and give him, you know, a coach that is going to help him become a better shooter, and he can do that. Jason Kidd did it. Magic Johnson did it. Those are pretty good comps. Ben Simmons could be Magic Johnson in that, you know, he's big. You can post him up. You can, you can turn him into a decent outside shooter. He's not going to be Steph Curry or Klay Thompson or Trae Young or anyone like that. But if you put him with the right coach, with the right organization, the Spurs just missed the playoffs for the first time in a day's age. I could see him ending up there if he doesn't end up with Portland, and the Spurs kind of understanding that maybe they need to be more aggressive in terms of acquiring players that they haven't in the past. Especially when you consider, especially by trade. So if he doesn't end up in Portland, I could see him fitting in San Antonio with his defense, with his passing, with Greg Popovich, wanting guys to shoot and giving him the shooting instruction that he needs so he can improve in that area while providing them with a lot of defense. And maybe DeJounte Murray comes back to Philadelphia. I think that would be a good move for both teams. Anybody there?
I don't know, Barry.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. My bad. I could hear myself perfectly fine. You couldn't hear the villain because I was on mute. I apologize. I don't know if I would give up Murray for Simmons, but I agree that San Antonio is a nice spot and they do need to make a move. I would want to put Simmons and Murray together. But listen, Simmons is 24 years old. He can be fixed. You know, he just needs – I mean, seriously, you're killing me with the video you're sending, man. Like, is that real? Is that like a stunt double? Are you serious? That's how you warm up? Like, off the back of my iron from, like, 10 feet away? Like, Jesus, man. Like, oh, my God. But listen, hilarious. But listen, It's confidence. Jason Kidd was a horrible shooter coming out of Cal. He made himself into one of the better three-point shooters in NBA history. We're not asking Ben Simmons to shoot threes. We're asking him to shoot the ball. That's it. Just shoot the damn ball. TP Timeless, the process. Is it a joke? Is it done? And what uniform do you think Ben Simmons is wearing next year? Because I definitely don't think it's Philadelphia. What uniform do you think he should wear next season?
The process is done. They just have to just structure it better. They did all they can for all the years that they purposely tanked and still haven't gotten to where they need to be. They should be in an Eastern Conference final or the NBA final. And what other process do they need to do? They've accepted to lose to get where they are, and they still have a losing mentality. They couldn't fight through holding off a 26-point lead twice. There's no process anymore. It's that you guys got to have the ability to do it or want to, or show them video of them when they were in high school when they were hungry to go out there and get it. Ben Simmons, I think that this might be the last time we've seen him in a Philadelphia jersey, because if you watch the exit presser of Doc Rivers, he basically said everything that he was supposed to other than we need to get rid of him. He said everything politically correct to not throw Simmons under the bus, but you can feel it in the conversation. It's interesting that Sirius said New Orleans, I like it if they get rid of Bledsoe. If Bledsoe's gone, then you could see him, like, work that 1-3 spot, and he could work fast breaks, him, Zion, and them. They could go crazy. It could be interesting if they can work that. But it's interesting that he said that, but that's not the way that I want to go. There's only one team that Ben Simmons can hide on the offensive side of the ball. That is the Golden State Warriors. They can hide him. Klay comes back, and he has anywhere near 14 to 18 points a game. They can hide him. I just want to see the lift off of Klay Thompson. You could have a guy run the show because I am not confident in Andrew Wiggins. I'm not confident in him. He can be better. He's a consistent 20 points, but in times when they need him, you can't count on him. So if you got Simmons running a break, the defense collapses, and it's Steph and Klay saying, hey, I'm over here, that's money. Like that, that's money. So, and the only coach that I think that could help fix his confidence is Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is actually the one that told them that you guys have the ultimate green light, both of you. Klay, you, wherever you are, you can go off for 37 points in an NBA basketball quarter. I mean, Klay, you can go off for 37 and a quarter. Or Steph, you can shoot from Afghanistan. Like I don't care if you're nowhere near half court. To let it rip. I don't care. I know you can shoot. You shoot the ball and we're good. Like, just get Ben Simmons to believe that he's around these shooters and he starts shooting with them. He sees a couple of shots fall. I think that may work. So if they can get him there, play defense with them, because not for nothing, I think the Warriors are done with Draymond and all of his antics year after year, that they're going up and down with him and him going at it with Steve Kerr and other players, and possibly could have been the piece that got Kevin Durant to leave. So if you can get him there, be the facilitator and defender that Draymond is, all they would have to figure out is who is their emotional leader. That would be the team that I would go with. If Ben Simmons can go anywhere, especially they go piece for piece, having Draymond go to Philly and having Ben Simmons go to Golden State, that may be a head-up move or a little bit of pieces to make, but that is definitely doable.
I don't hate the idea. I think if I'm Philadelphia, I would want probably a better facilitator that doesn't take up space inside with Ben Simmons. I mean, with Joel Embiid. But I think the things that are working in the Clippers' the Warriors' favor is that they have two lottery picks, I think number 7 and number 14, and they definitely have some pieces that they would want back in Wiggins or Green, or maybe do a sign-and-trade with Kelly Oubre and get them back. So I do like that. The team that I think is a dark horse, and I definitely want to get your guys' opinion, and you can just chime in whenever you want, Zach LaVine to the Bulls, from the Bulls. I think it may not be a money head-up trade. They might have to put another piece in there or something like that, or maybe absorb the contract. But Zach LaVine coming to Philly gives them a nice 1-2 punch, and the Bulls take back Ben Simmons as defense, and then you have Vucevic that already stretches the floor and gives Ben Simmons a lot of room to operate, because then Embiid, to your point, thinks he's a shooter. He falls into a trap. When he's down on the block, he's more effective, but that kind of doesn't give Ben Simmons the space he needs to operate. So putting in with Vucevic kind of stretches the floor, spaces it out. I think it works for both sides. I don't know how you guys feel about it. Not everybody at once.
Honestly,
nobody likes one idea.
You said the Bulls?
Yeah, why not?
You know what? It's funny you mentioned the Bulls, because I was talking with somebody today about, you know, the Bulls, and he was like, yo, so check this out. The Oklahoma City Thunder also come to mind. They got all these damn picks. You know what I'm saying? They need a floor general. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we obviously Kemba's going to get flipped. We're not going to sit here and pump fake like Kemba Walker's going to really be a thing in OKC. Sam Presti has been known to do dumb stuff, you know. you know, OKC is another squad that comes to mind that can potentially be a dark horse in getting Ben Simmons. You can trade some of these picks, you know, and you can maneuver that, and, you know, maybe add a player. Maybe Kemba ends up in Philadelphia, you know. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I was talking to my dude, and I was like, yo, watch OKC do something stupid like that. Watch OKC pull something. And then we got to listen to Thomas for the next 3 years about it.
Timeless. Good.
We need a floor general, and they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Where he's wilding. Like, yo, somebody, if you are in the DMV area of the United States, please go to the Simmons family and give them some water. That's all you need to do. See, and this is what's happening in Sports City. I have to say this because there's people in Pennsylvania that are frustrated with the Simmons family. So don't take it out on the Simmons family on the west or the east coast of that state, because the western side of that state, I love the Simmons family. So shout out to all of them. You know what I'm saying? But it's, you know, the eastern part, I feel like y'all okay. But the western ones, I feel some type of way because I have to deal with a Simmons every week of my life, especially being here in Sports City and the shop and things of that nature. So I understand the frustration that you people are going through with the Simmons people. So as you hear, he's saying that we need a floor general. I don't hear that. I feel like I agree with him with the Kemba situation. I think that the OKC may end up flipping him. But Shai's there for a reason. Dort is there for a reason. I think the backcourt is taken care of. They got to fill up the front court. If they go to Simmons as a forward, like a small forward, that'll be good, and he can run breaks if he needs to. But it's going to be very interesting to see him be the guy setting up the show, especially when OKC trying to figure this out, unless he's going to be the veteran that they go to. And I wouldn't want him to be the guy that they're going to for leadership or questions on what's going on the floor. So I think that was just a clear-cut, a Simmons faulty, you know, mindset. I don't know. I'm just hoping that you guys can, like, bear with us here. You know, I apologize.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you do it.
Yeah, so that's what Simmons is all about, man. He wants to pass it around, pass the evil vibe.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I'm the villain, but here he comes with OKC. Oh, that's the most random team you can come. OKC, random.
Are we not talking about random teams right now?
Yeah, I mean that's completely random. What is OKC gonna do with Ben Simmons? What are they gonna do?
Villain, I got something. I got something to add here. That might sound crazy.
Go ahead, because I gotta take the mic away from Sid. Your time has been revoked for 5 minutes. You gotta sit in the corner and think about what you've done. Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, it's a crazy scenario on the surface, but here's where it can make a little bit of sense. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I firmly believe Portland or San Antonio are better spots for him, but to play devil's advocate, Philadelphia is going to try to get, you know, they don't have much leverage in the situation, as you pointed out. They're going to try to get some draft picks for Ben Simmons. Who has more draft picks right now than the Oklahoma City Thunder? They have stockpiled them more so than Boston when Danny Ainge was running things over there. So Philadelphia might want to make a deal with them to send some draft picks to Philadelphia for Ben Simmons and maybe get Kemba Walker as well, as you mentioned, flip him, and then put Ben Simmons in the front court permanently. He cannot be a point guard in the NBA. Why? Because point guards have to be able to shoot in the NBA. That's just what point guards do these days. So Ben Simmons should probably not be a point guard on any team. He should probably be a forward that could be a point forward that could run the break when he needs to. You can post him up, you know, and he can hook up backdoor cutters or out of the post. If he's double teamed, he can pass to an open shooter and things like that. I could see him on Oklahoma City if you put him in the front court as opposed to the back court, and Philadelphia gets some draft picks that Oklahoma City does have available right now because they have more draft picks or future draft picks than any team in the NBA right now.
Is it another one with OKC? Unbelievable. I get the picks, but
man,
I just don't get this.
Like, I just found this guy off the freaking streets, and now he's doing this to me. I don't want Ben Simmons. What are you doing to me? You know what? Send him to the Lakers. Get rid of LeBron. Let LeBron retire, and then he's stuck with Ben Simmons. Stop trying to push him more than me, okay? You stop before I start putting him in Houston. I put him in Houston, and y'all all have some doggone dumpster fire, garbage juice.
You guys can fight for it.
Lakers or Houston. We just have a summertime game, winner takes Ben Simmons, and see who plays the worst to get him. You know what I'm saying? Like, That's how you two could play. And he did it just to play the devil's advocate because we got picked. I don't want Vincent.
Come on. I get the picks, but Sixers need to win now. I don't think picks will help. They don't need developmental players. They need players that can contribute right away. And I think I don't know what the Lakers – I think the Lakers are a good fit for Ben Simmons, but I don't know what you give back to Philly that would make sense. Schroeder? Sign and trade, get lost. Kyle Kuzma, I don't know if he's probably as much damaged goods as Ben Simmons. So, I mean, I don't know what the Lakers can give up to get Ben Simmons, but I do agree.
The Lakers don't trade for Ben Simmons unless they have if you have Ben Simmons on your team with AD and LeBron, you still need to get a knockdown shooter. That's not going to be Simmons and LeBron and AD. That's not really their game. So you're going to still need a knockdown shooter for the Lakers if you trade for Ben Simmons because you're going to want him to specialize in certain things.
Exactly. I think, to your point, I think the Lakers would have to get a third team involved to get Ben Simmons and then try to get a shooter back in that deal to make it work. Kyle Kuzma, I don't think he's a Laker much longer. Caruso is smoking the bud. You got to keep him there. I got to get that in. You know, that was a funny story.
Alex, what are you thinking about? Man.
Yeah, it's good times, like Styles P. I get high. You know,
I don't mind
like,
getting high.
Listen,
I was at an airport with that stuff in Texas. He's crazy to be able to do that.
Come on, man. If you get high, you know, do it. But I mean, what are we doing here?
That's not a good bargaining position for us. I think the Lakers – I want the Lakers to bring him back, but he's got to be a little smarter than that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, know where you're at. There's only 18 states in the country that legalize marijuana. Texas is not one of them.
Texas is not one of them. They'll be the last state to legalize marijuana across the board. I guarantee it.
Exactly. Just know the rules. Know where you're playing. But, I don't know. I think Ben Simmons' time – and Philadelphia is done. I think there are teams, there are fits for him. I just don't think he'll be in Philadelphia. I think his time is over. Philadelphia is not happy with him. It's a wrap. And that's that. But the other team I want to get to before we kind of get into the West, but real quick, I'll pass it around. TP Timeless, Brooklyn did not make the NBA Eastern Conference Finals or the finals like we all predicted they would or thought that they possibly could. What happened with the Brooklyn Nets? I mean, KD had a great series, but even he couldn't do enough. He was gassed by the end. Steve Nash showing his rookie sign, you know, showing that he's a rookie coach and didn't really do much to protect Kevin Durant in that last minute. Let me know. I mean, Brooklyn, is it a disappointment or do they have excuses and will they be back?
I mean, I don't know if you're looking at it as an excuse, but it's valid that they were injured. That's the best way I could put it. Kyrie had a heavily rolled ankle. He couldn't play, and Harden was playing on a bad hamstring where he wasn't even running or jogging. He was skipping up and down a basketball court, so he's not able, and Kevin Durant was doing everything that he could. If he was able to get any output from anybody, like they probably would have won the series. That last game seven, like James Harden had a quiet 22 points. You didn't even know they scored the 22. So, I mean, there's a lot there to unpack for Brooklyn's situation. I mean, Kevin Durant was literally putting on some stuff that like legends do. He put himself in legend conversation. Especially the 49-point effort, the 49-point triple-double. And the last game, we're literally saying, toenails away from ending that thing where he's on the line. If he basically pulled his feet back a little more, he'd have won that thing with the way that they were, you know, going out there playing ball. But, again, the one big question I have around them is Kyrie. you're there to try and win a championship. And I get it. I don't know the severity of how bad that ankle may have been rolled, but Isaiah Thomas played on a fracture mid-game to try and get it done. And you wear his number, 11. So I could just imagine, you know what I'm saying, like what is what? You know what I'm saying? Like you're going to really watch Harden go out there and give it his all to try to make it happen with all of the question marks that lie around him. What about the question marks that lie around you and how you didn't want to give LeBron his props and so on and so forth? So there's so many different things that, you know, Kyrie has to answer. That's a crazy and one. That's crazy. Just to think of how this went down for them, they were basically on a course where I didn't think nobody could stop them if they remained healthy. But a lot of people said it within, you know, the clubhouse situation or here. If they get injured, that's where the questions lie. And for them to completely have somebody off the floor, and if the next man up is like, okay, I get the next man up. But their next man up was Joseph Harris. If you have not seen Joseph Harris recently, please look out for him. He may be wandering around New York City wearing a hoodie, trying to hide from people. He may be wearing a low-profile hat. He may be back in his hometown. I don't know where he's from. He's probably a 6'4", 6'5" kind of guy, dark brown hair. He plays shooting guard for the Brooklyn Nets, but he doesn't play his position at all, or he's trying to, or he's make-believe, but I don't get it. He was having 1-4 games. Like he was going 1-4-11 and 1-4 this. It's like, bro, if you get another shot, layups included. He was missing layups with an S. If you hit one more shot, you guys are winning or in a winning position to take these games, and you weren't there, especially with the next guy up. Then I look at Steve Nash's situation. The game where Kevin Durant had the 49-point triple-double, you mean to tell me that Shamit had a 20-some-point game? And he's on the bench in Game 7 when he's giving you more of an output than Joe Harris? I don't get that. Like what? Who's pulling strings? Where's Buffalo Wild Wings? What button did they press? Where's Vegas at? Where's the red phone that you tried to get in the couple of minutes? I really need to know what's going on. Something is really happening. And I listen, in the words of Mike Singletary, I need winners. I can't win with them. I need answers. Like, I need answers right now, Mike, I need answers right now. Enough is enough. Stop it. Joe Harris, you and Ben Simmons, you guys need to be going overseas. Not now, but in the words of my aunts down south, right now. Okay? That's it. I'm done.
Brooklyn's probably going to be the favorite.
Go ahead, Steve. No, go ahead.
I didn't hear him. Say it again. What did he say? What did he say? I missed it.
I think Brooklyn's probably going to be the favorite in the East next year because when you have a team as top-heavy as they are, playing in New York City and ESPN is not exactly the picture of objectivity. They will favor Brooklyn. I want to see what the Vegas odds look like, actually. But I think Brooklyn has got a few issues. One, Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni are not coaches that can demand players play defense. They don't have a lot of defense on this team. I don't know how much you can rely on Blake Griffin in a two-game season next year because he's often injured, plus he's not a good defender to begin with, even though he could be and probably should be given his athleticism. Joe Harris he'll compete defensively, but he's not a great position defender. Kyrie Irving will compete as well. James Harden can play defense, too, if he wants to. Kevin Durant will play defense. But defensively as a whole with the coaching staff that they have, I don't know how you get those guys playing consistent defense. You can't count on Jeff Green. Jeff Green had an amazing playoff, actually. I was impressed by how productive he was. But can you expect him to maintain that kind of consistency next year? I think Brooklyn is a top-heavy team with an offensive-minded coaching staff. They're going to have a hard time getting these guys playing defense. The Landry Shamit point was well taken, timeless, in terms of they probably should have played him more than Joe Harris, but, you know, Steve Nash showed his rookie mistake there. Maybe I'll learn from that. But here's the main wild card, Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is a show amongst himself. He is so much – I mean, as a basketball fan, I love watching Kyrie Irving play because of the handles, his ability to finish at the rim, take and make big shots from the perimeter. He is a phenomenal basketball player to watch. But where is his head at? You know, one week he's thinking about basketball. The next week he's thinking about saving the world. And it's hard to do both those things at the same time. I think that Kyrie Irving needs to really focus on basketball and on helping this Nets team be what it is, be what it can be. And that's a team that can win a championship mostly because of offense, and an NBA that loves offensive performances more than they ever have in the history of this league. So Kyrie Irving has got to focus on basketball and put all the other stuff to the side if they're going to be successful as a franchise and winning championships, and that's the goal. That's why you put James Harden and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving together, because you're going for championships. They got to have a little bit of a deeper bench. They need to have defense behind those three guys and a coaching staff that can coach and motivate the team to play defense. But I think Kyrie Irving is a wild card for them, and I think as long as he's got part of his mind on basketball, got part of his mind on issues around the world, and I understand those issues. I understand where it's coming from, and I admire, you know, how much he wants to help, you know, his fellow man to be better when it comes to race relations. I think that's great. I think that's wonderful, and I think that's something you should continue to do. But when is the right time to do that stuff? When it comes to the season, he's got to be all about basketball, and he's got to be all about the team, because if not, then as talented as Brooklyn is on paper, it's going to be hard for them to get it done, because you have to have the chemistry, you have to have the organization, you have to have that commitment and that drive. And I'm not sure that's the case with Kyrie Irving right now, and I think that's a big issue for the Nets going forward.
Listen, they came out and said, you know, it was on TV that, you know, karma was the biggest reason why they lost. And, I mean, you know,
yep.
Harden – you know,
serious.
Yep. You said it all year, how, you know, Harden got himself out of Houston by being fat and out of shape. And you know what? These nagging hamstring injuries are a reason for that. Kyrie Irving, not the best ability is availability. And you were available and you weren't there for your team, not because of an ankle injury, but during the season, you didn't want to play. You needed a couple weeks off. Chemistry was a big issue. Joe Harris, hello. I don't even know if you could put him on the back of a milk carton, because we don't know what he looks like to get a picture of him to put him on a milk carton right now. Where was he? How is he on the court? If he hit one of those threes in overtime, this is a different story. So there was a lot of factors that went into this. But, I mean, you know, honestly, man, I mean, it's a failure for them not to get there. But, I mean, you know, injuries, yeah, but I agree with you, TP. Listen, ankle injury or not, you got to be on the court. If Harden's on there with one leg, what's your excuse? Eric, I'm going to come right to you. Brooklyn, is it a failure? Was it a failure this year for them not to get there, or is the injuries and everything, they're kind of out for them not reaching the finals and ultimately getting the championship?
I mean, I'm not necessarily going to say it's a failure just because they just put this team together. You know, I mean, I was shocked that they got this far. I thought they were going to have problems because they don't play defense, and to see how this chemistry was going to pan out, didn't know if it can work together, but they did. They started playing better defense in the playoffs. We saw that. And I think minus Kyrie Irving, I think that was the game changer here. James Harden was going out there. Why wasn't Kyrie Irving out there? He could have helped his team out. Like Timeless just said, they were a few plays away in each of those games for it going a different way, a few buckets too. So if they would have had that, it could have turned out different. But they're going to have to find a way to keep this momentum. And Kyrie Irving, just like Steve just touched on, this guy has to get his head in the game. It's time to play basketball, focus on basketball, and that's it. If they can do that, this team is going to be the favorite next year in the Eastern Conference, without a shadow of a doubt. And if they can get a few other players in free agency, because I don't think Blake Griffin is the guy either. He can't prove to be healthy. Doesn't play defense like he should. But if they can get a few other, you know, pieces, and this team has chemistry, and they learn to play defense as a team together, they're going to be fine. Because Kevin Durant is a legend. He's solidified himself this year, and for you know, casual basketball fans that didn't see this guy play in college, I mean, seeing this guy play in college, you knew he was going to be great in the pros. And coming back from an Achilles tendon injury like he did, most players don't come back ever from that 100% or as the player they were before the injury. And he came back and he dominated. So as the Nets can keep all this up, they're going to be in good shape.
I mean, that's a great point, Eric. An Achilles injury. Achilles injury. And he looked like he hadn't lost a step. He's not at that best player in the game right now, but he's pretty damn close. And you could argue if he's there already and if he's surpassed, taking the kind of mantle away from LeBron. But serious, I'll let you clean this one up. Brooklyn, was it a failure or just bad luck for them not getting to the finals?
In my opinion, it was a failure. And the reason why I say it was a failure is because, honestly, when this team was constructed, everybody and their mother penciled them into the Eastern Conference Finals, let alone NBA Finals situation. And unfortunately, whether it was injury, whether it was coaching, whether it was fill in the blank, they failed to get there. Now, with that being said, I'm all for Kyrie and these players speaking out against, you know, injustices. I'm all for Kyrie and these players, you know, having a life and cares outside of basketball. And I'm even going as far as to say this. Had the Brooklyn Nets won, had the Brooklyn Nets have, you know, make it to, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals or won an NBA championship, what Kyrie Irving was doing would be a non-issue. But they didn't, so now it's a talking point. You know what I'm saying? So we can't have our cake and eat it too. We can't sit here and say, you know, shut up and dribble, focus on basketball, focus on, you know, putting the ball in the bucket before, you know, you have a life outside of basketball. Because if we do that, in my opinion, we are no better than the people who do that and say, you know, those bad things. It's unfortunate that he got hurt. You know, it was a freak play. It was a freak accident. Before he got hurt, let's keep it a buck. Kyrie was doing his thing in games one, in games two. He had a decent game three. He got hurt in game four. You know what I'm saying? Kyrie was doing his thing in the playoffs. You know, nobody said anything about Kyrie during that Boston series when they got them up out of there. Nobody was saying anything. But all of a sudden, now that he got a hurt ankle, and people say, oh, James Harden, we come back from a hamstring, we want to question this man's toughness. Or we'll just question this man's work ethic, or question where this man's head is at. Let's rise above that. Let's do better than that. The Brooklyn Nets lost, so be it. You know what I'm saying? I do expect them to make some off-season moves and get better. I do expect, you know, significant changes. We already saw one domino fall with the new head coach and Boston being from that coaching staff. Obviously, D'Antoni's going to get a look, and so some other cats are going to get a look. But they need to get bigger, in my opinion. They got killed on the board. You know what I'm saying? Milwaukee was able to do whatever the hell they wanted to do on the board. You know, so they need to do something there. And we'll see what happens with them, man. It's going to be a fun off season, man. We went over the list. I think a day or two ago, pending upcoming free agents, and we'll see what they put together. But we can't sit there and say, you know, praise James Harden for making a comeback, or, you know, and being a shell of himself on one leg, and you know throw shade at Kyrie Irving for not being able to go. We can't do that. We got to be better than that.
I beg to differ. I don't know where Barry is, but listen, this is a situation that Kyrie's been injured almost every season that he's been in the league since that championship run, or even before the championship run. He's got hurt before that championship run. Like, some of the stuff he has to take personal. Like, even looking at Chris Paul's situation while he was in Houston, like, they lost because Chris Paul was out. What, Houston doesn't look at it like if we had him here, we were taking care of the Golden State Warriors. Like, there's situations that happen. There's the next man up. There is a next man up mentality, but if they're better players on the floor, it makes it better for them to try to win the game. So I understand that you may have something against what people may say, but that's reality. Like, Kyrie off the floor, that's a big piece And if you're looking at the same situation with Joe Harris going one for several times, and he's shooting wide open shots or taking layups at the rim by himself. Like, these are heavily questionable situations. This is beyond Ben Simmons territory. This is you're missing layups. This is so elementary. This is beyond fundamental. Mm-hmm. Like, when you get on the court, you're shooting the ball at the rim, and this is a layup. Like, you're not shooting jump shots. Like, you're literally missing layups with guys like Bryn Forbes on you or Drew under the rim. Like these guys are smaller than you that you should be able to complete a layup. You are so rattled. Something is going on. I don't know if it's mental or him just, like, me not letting these guys down, but there's more there than just what we're seeing. So, like, again, Kyrie is a big piece of them being off of the situation. Harden, two of his stars are hurt, hobbled, a hamstring. Have you ever had a hamstring injury? I haven't, but I know where it is, and I felt it pull. Like, I haven't had a pulled hamstring, but just imagine trying to run at the clip that Harden tried to run around, and he's skipping. He's not running. He wasn't running at all. And then then Kyrie not being on the floor, like, I agree to disagree. I'm sorry. Two injuries out of the big three. Out of the big three that are off the floor, and KD doing everything he can to keep these guys afloat. And they lost by two possessions in that last game. If they're getting a bucket from Joe Harris or a bucket from Blake Griffin, who didn't play like anywhere near a $173 million type of player, like, that's a lot that they're missing. And they got two guys that are ammunition that are, one is a shell of himself, the other one is over there in a black cap wearing a black awareness T-shirt. Like no, I'm not having it. I'm sorry. They need him. They played all season. They played all season without Spencer Dinwiddie. Picture Spencer Dinwiddie coming back. Like, they had
to. I think they could have used Spencer Dinwiddie in the series.
Right.
So you wonder what kind of a difference he could have made.
I'm cooking with Sal's on, Steve, but I'm telling you that I season well. Believe me, I season well.
Listen, but I agree with you, TP. Listen, I rebuke your claim, Sirius. Like, we could do better.
I'm glad you do.
I'm saying, listen, I've had a pulled hamstring. I played with it. I tried to play with it, football on it. It sure hurts. You know what I mean? I don't know how hard it was on the court with that and trying to play, like, and play two games. He came out, 3 minutes in game six or game five? And then I get it. He rolled his ankle really bad. That, and some people can tolerate it, some people can't. But I mean, if Harden's out there on one leg trying to guard Giannis, what are we talking about here, Mac? We didn't even hear you trying to play. Did he try to play serious? Like, that's all I'll ask. Did he try to give it a go and said no, or he was just like, nah? Yeah.
I'm not sure. That's the thing. I'm not sure if he tried to give it a go or whatever the case may be. But we get into gray area when we start talking about okay, well, this guy played, and you know he should. The other guy should play. You know what I'm saying? We get into a gray area. But I'm gonna go ahead and address the both of you because I honestly think you guys are missing my point. My issue wasn't the fact that these men weren't hurt. My issue wasn't the fact that Kyrie was, you know, hurt or Harden was a shell of himself or this, that, and the third, because, again, I'm a guy who played this sport and still plays this sport to this day and have tore a hamstring, and don't get it twisted. That shit does hurt, you know what I'm saying? And I tried to play through it, and I couldn't play through it. I had to sit my ass down for 2.5-3 weeks before I even could try to play that. So I get what James Harden was trying to do, and I commend him for doing that. But my issue was this. We were sitting here talking about how Kyrie Irving didn't give it a go because of, you know, he was hurt or his head wasn't in it, this, that, and the third. And, again, we're getting into great territory right here because, again, if we're sitting here saying that because one man did it, another man should do it, then we are no better than the cornballs who use that same type of narrative on us in everyday life, and we have to be better than that. We don't know what damn near Kyrie's ankle injury was. All we're doing is sitting on our couches with our beer in our hand, looking at the situation. About like, yo, damn, that brother should play. We don't know the extent of that injury. Kyrie has been brittle before. I will give TP credit for that. That brother stays hurt at the worst time possible. You know what I'm saying? He got hurt the year before they won the championship at Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? He's been hurt in Boston. He's been hurt, you know, here in Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? He's been in and out of the lineup all year, you know, with this, that, and the third. So, you know, if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, I understand the frustration that you have. I understand you talking with bass in your voice right now. I get it. But we can't sit there and say because James Harden played Kyrie should have, then we start getting down that slippery slope. And I just choose not to do that.
Okay, I do. It's okay though. I love you just the same, brother. I'm gonna question you because to your point, when we need you on the court, you're not there. Go ahead, Eric. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. We saw with Anthony Davis, Chris Paul, with their injuries, they're like, there's no way we're missing this game. We're playing. This is for all the marbles.
Right.
This isn't like a regular season game where, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to rest or not give it a go. This is for all the marbles. And for him to not say, I'm getting out of there and helping my team win, it's not comparing it. It just shows you the heart and the drive. James Harden got out there and did his thing. One of the big three, okay? KD was out there. Kyrie Irving, if he was out there with these guys, it would have made a difference. He obviously did not want to win because you are going to play unless you have a broken leg. You're going to be out there. This is the NBA playoffs. This is the Eastern Conference Finals. And for him to just act nonchalantly, oh, you know, no, I'm not going to go out there, is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And we could question everybody's heart and, you know, who's different and Sirius makes a point. But to me, Anthony Davis tried. He shouldn't have been out there. We all said it. He shouldn't have been out there with the groin injury, but he tried. That's why I'm asking, Kyrie, did you try? Did you even try? I don't know if he tried. I don't know if he was out there pregame, tried to give it a go and said, nah, I can't do it. At least you tried. I don't even know if he did that. That's what I mean. Like, they needed you. Kevin Durant gave you everything. He poured it out in game five, over 40 points. And, I mean, if it wasn't for him, like, Nash should have called a timeout to get him off, give him a breather so he didn't shoot an air ball to win the game in the last second. That's bad coaching. But other than that, Kevin Durant did everything in his power. To, if he didn't have the biggest feet in the world, they won that game. You know what I'm saying? But he tried. He's out there giving it all he has. What are we talking about with Kyrie? I mean, I don't know if he tried. I don't know if what his tolerance was, but he wasn't there. That's my thing. Go ahead,
Steve. It occurs to me that you know, the NBA is a players-driven league, and Steve Nash was basically hired by Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Apparently, he's the guy that they wanted. And it occurs to me that if you're going to win a championship in the NBA, yeah, you got to have the players. You know what else you have to have a coach that has the ability to be a player-friendly coach and a disciplinarian at the same time. It's very hard to do that. Phil Jackson, masterful at it. Greg Popovich, masterful at it. After that, I'm out with Pat Riley back in the day, masterful at that. You got to know when to be a player's coach, and you got to know when to be a prick. And I think Steve Nash is going to have to learn that. And so if Steve Nash can, he's got to discipline this team. He's got to let this team know that the buck stops with me when it comes to basketball. Obviously, Sean Marks upstairs in the front office, the buck stops with him as far as roster shaping and acquisitions and things of that nature. But Steve Nash has to learn. And the players have to let him do that, by the way. You cannot have a championship team unless you have discipline to go along with a style that is going to allow the players to enjoy playing the game of basketball and lead them to success. Because the players are enjoying playing basketball, they're going to win. Those two things go hand in hand. But you got to have that discipline, and that's got to come from the coaching staff. And if it doesn't, you could have all the talent in the world. and you can say that it's about every single sport when it comes to winning, strictly winning, that you have to have that you have to have that player friendliness, but you got to have that discipline as well. And I think that's another challenge for the Nets, aside from the Kyrie Irving, you know, situation, is can Steve Nash figure out when to be a disciplinarian and when to be the player-friendly coach that I know he wants to be, like a Greg Popovich or a Phil Jackson used to be?
We'll see. Time will tell. Time will tell. But, I mean, we got to close up. We got to close up. It's hot. It's getting hot in here. I love Sirius, always stirring the pot. Steve, I'm going to come right to you. Give us a plug. Give us a shot as we close up the kitchen. Another great edition of the Callers Cookout with the fellas.
Very tasty. I cannot wait for the next round, for the next grill selections. Pardon me, I'm having a hard time speaking today. My mind is, I've been doing a two-day fast, so my mind is not as sharp as it normally would be, so thank you for putting up with that. Shout-out to Big City Chef, a shout-out to my new man, Timeless, you know, who got me involved in this, who's shown belief in me right away, and I want to be an integral part of this overall platform for a long time. So shout out to them, as well as to Dire Sports Radio, my platform, and the Sports Examiners with my man Naj, my buddy Jack, my boy Terry, and my man Marvin. I'd like to introduce you guys to them as part of my Sports Examiner crew. Let's do this big, and let's grow this thing. Let's grow this thing to the stars of the heavens. Because I think you got a good thing going on here, and I really appreciate you allowing me to be a part of it.
Absolutely, man. Welcome to the kitchen. We love you, man. We got nothing but big things ahead of you. Thanks for calling in, man. We can't wait to hear you on the brunch with TP. Eric, Big EVE,
yes,
give us a plug. Give us a shout, man. You know what to do, brother.
Yeah, as always, it's a pleasure, gentlemen. Much love and respect to each and every one of you. And thanks to all our supporters and listeners out there, sportscitychefs.com. Like we said at the beginning of the show, check out the hot new merchandise. Go out and represent. And everybody have a blessed night.
Oh, yeah, we got that nice merch out there too, man. Eric, holla at me, brother. Sirius, you know what to do, man. Sirius, you know I give it to you raw, but you know we got nothing but love, man. It's nothing but love, brother. Give us a shout.
Yo, man, it's your boy Sirius repping out 412 and the 703, man. Such a wonderful pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of the Callers Cookout, man. Definitely check us out, man, www.sportsandjeff.com. Got the blogs, got the merch coming out. I just spoke with my homegirl. Yeah, stuff about to get popping with the tie and the fitted. PP said he wanted a fitted. Sirius is about to deliver a fitted, man. So definitely check that out, man. It's going to be pretty dope. In conjunction with the wonderful Miss Jordan's creations, man. So, you know what I'm saying? It's not about what you know, it's who you know and the collaborations that, you know, help you get to where you want to go, man. So definitely check that out. One more stat line before I get out the building. I just saw this pop across my screen. Trae Young had 48 points, 11 assists, and 6 rebounds and missed 1 free throw. He was not an all-star selection. With that being said, I'm out of here. They just got the dub in Milwaukee. I'm out. Y'all be good, man. I'll catch you guys on the next time.
Peace. Holler at me, Sirius. We got to talk hats, man. Listen, Trae Young, I can't stand him, but he's that dude right now, man. Ice Trae in the house. If you don't know about him, you better Google him. Yes, get to the website. We got the blogs, new article up about the NFL training mini camps. I know some NOR articles are about to go up pretty soon. You know, we're going to do a little bit of Olympic stuff, so we're going to be talking about the Olympics coming up very soon, and then some soccer. But we got all kinds of sports we're blogging about. We're writing that all the time, so look out for that. Shout out to the boys tomorrow night, the baseball buffet. Make sure you listen to that at 9 o'clock. I think Nate is on vacation, so we're going to pitch in for Dave, give him a little shout. So, but, you know, get to the site, get the new merchandise. We're popping, get to the website. A lot of things going on. TP Timeless, you know what to do, man. You know how to close this up.
Sports City, there's nothing more I could say, man. We got new people coming in by addition, man. I got to try to figure out a niche. a nickname for Steve. I was thinking Simmer and Steve. I don't know. We got it. I want him to be comfortable with it, you know, while he comes in here. But you can tell us a wealth of knowledge, man. I feel the good vibes pouring in, things of that nature. Now, I got to agree with Sirius, though. Shout out to Trae Young for getting it done. I was going to touch this game in Vegas. Thank the Lord I left this thing alone because I was going to go Milwaukee. I was going to go Milwaukee.
I'm right there with you. I had Milwaukee winning game one, too. Mm-hmm.
What I would have my head ripped off acting up. Trae would have tore everything up. And his initials to his name means everything to my nickname and my nickname. So on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Ow.
Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chefs, Chefs.
Connecticut.